The government agency that keeps watch on Wall Street prepares for a change in leadership.
It's very difficult at that agency to sort of turn the Titanic.
We'll look at what the future may hold for the Securities and Exchange Commission and the impact on investors. Plus, markets balance hopes for a COVID-19 vaccine with a surge in cases.
There is this prospect that actually the next phase of economic recovery will be a little bit harder because of that.
And in this age of remote everything during the pandemic, there are some things you just might want to do in person, including apartment hunting. It's Wednesday, November 18th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Boeing 737 MAX could be about to return to the skies. Air safety regulators are expected as soon as today to allow the jet to resume passenger flights. The 737 MAX has been grounded worldwide for 20 months after two crashes that took 346 lives. The Journal's Andrew Tangle covers aviation.
This really comes as somewhat of an anti-climax. Boeing has been trying to get this plane back in the skies for nearly 2 years, and now people aren't flying, and airlines are struggling. It's going to be hard for Boeing to find airlines willing and able to take delivery and pay for these aircraft.
Boeing declined to comment before the FAA issues the ungrounding order. President Trump announced on Twitter that he fired the top cybersecurity official at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Chris Krebs oversaw efforts to safeguard the presidential election from foreign interference, and in recent weeks he had defended the integrity of the election, disputing unsubstantiated claims of fraud advanced by President Trump. We asked the WSJ's Dustin Volz, who covers cybersecurity and intelligence, to put this into perspective.
This is extremely significant because Krebs was essentially the face of election security efforts in the federal government. And so now he has been removed from an administration by a president that is actively seeking to delegitimize and question the results of the election. And so there are a lot of concerns about who might be fired next, how this fits into the broader efforts by the president to continue to try to refute or reject the results of the election.
The White House didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. Chris Krebs tweeted that he was honored to serve and defended his actions. Stimulus talks could be back on the agenda soon. Top Democrats sent a letter to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell requesting that negotiations on another relief bill restart this week. McConnell said Tuesday he hasn't spoken with Democrats about a relief bill. Fed Chair Jerome Powell has warned that the recent surge in coronavirus cases poses an important risk to the economy, despite a potential vaccine in the future. Promising reports around new vaccines have propelled stocks to record highs recently. But Powell has warned that while successful vaccine trials are good news in the medium term, the Fed's immediate focus is on the spread of the virus. And markets are also watching the coronavirus closely. Stocks in the U.S. lost some of their gains on Tuesday, with investors focused on the impact of the surging coronavirus infections on the economy, despite hopes for vaccine development. Markets editor Quinton Webb joins me from Hong Kong. Glad you're here, Quinton.
Hi, Mark. Good to be here.
So, Quinton, we've been seeing some growth with retail, but big picture, as one trader told us, the coronavirus is the elephant in the room. It feels like it's a narrative that can drive the markets either way.
That's right. So, of course, we've seen big rallies in markets recently when we've had promising news on vaccine developments, for example, but also, you know, on days where markets are drifting back down a bit, one thing that market commentators tend to focus on is the fact that actually, as winter approaches, coronavirus cases are continuing to rise. And, you know, there is this prospect that actually the next phase of economic recovery will be a little bit harder because of that.
Obviously, we have seen the sensitivity in the U.S. markets, but what about the global exchanges and this ongoing coronavirus threat?
Well, so I think, you know, there are several channels here, if you like. One is that, of course, in Western Europe in particular, there is still also this kind of big current wave of the coronavirus. And so that's posing a major kind of headwind to economic growth in the region. The second is more, if you like, a kind of financial area of transmission where, you know, US government bond yields depend to some extent on the outlook for growth, which depends to a large extent on, you know, how much stimulus is pumped into the economy and how quickly it recovers from the coronavirus. And those yields help determine the value of all kinds of things globally, including, you know, tech stocks in Asia and so on. And as long as the US and Western Europe isn't growing super fast, companies that are big exporters are going to suffer a bit too. So these things are all interconnected. It's not the case that some Asian markets are suffering as much in terms of their current coronavirus difficulties, but they are exposed to it through these other channels.
Quentin Webb, always appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Just ahead, a change at the agency that keeps an eye on Wall Street, what it means for traders and investors at home, after the break. This week, the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Jay Clayton, said he'll be stepping down at the end of the year. That means President-elect Joe Biden will be naming a successor. As the head of the agency that oversees financial transactions and protects investors, that person will have some leeway to pursue their own priorities. With a power shift now underway in Washington, we wanted to look at how this change at the top of the SEC could affect corporations as well as consumers. Let's bring in the Journal's Dave Michaels. He covers white-collar crime and financial enforcement. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning.
Dave, we've seen some familiar faces from President Obama's years tapped as part of the Biden transition team. Does that indicate a return to the regulatory priorities we saw under the Obama administration?
I think they're going to look in the rearview mirror a little bit. You know, the problems have changed, though. We're not coming out of a financial crisis now. We're not battling a housing market that collapsed and trying to punish banks and other intermediaries for selling, you know, mortgage-backed securities or types of derivatives tied to the housing market. There are sort of new challenges and new opportunities. And going forward, you would imagine that they would at least adapt their outlook to that reality, even if they start from the point of view that they think they're going to be more strict than the SEC was during the Trump administration.
During Clayton's tenure, the agency brought cases against some high-profile CEOs like Elon Musk of Tesla and Elizabeth Holmes of Theranos. Those were both settled. Would a Biden appointee take a different approach to the question of enforcement?
It's a good question. I don't think that with a new Democratic chairman of this agency, you would see wholesale changes to the enforcement program. The enforcement program at the SEC is fairly steady. Cases take a long time to investigate, often at least 2 years. So it's very difficult at that agency to sort of turn the Titanic. Where you might see changes, a new chairman or chairwoman, they could decide there's a particular area of the market that hasn't gotten as much focus, in which case, you know, the enforcement division might go looking for cases sort of in that niche. But you probably wouldn't see that for a couple years showing up in terms of settlements or in terms of lawsuits and court dockets.
There's been a lot of discussion about how some more left-leaning Democrats like Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders might influence the Biden administration. Could their presence be felt on the SEC's agenda?
Well, that's a good question because they didn't win, but they will have influence in the Biden White House. And, you know, they could have former staffers who are working in the Biden administration. So what does it mean for the SEC? I don't think we know yet. It's possible that the issue of climate change could be more important at the SEC. It's strange because the SEC is not a regulator of greenhouse gas emissions, but there's a big debate about whether public companies and mutual fund managers, those types of entities, whether they should speak more in their disclosures to investors about the risks of climate change, how they're affected by it, how they would be affected by government's response to it,
how catastrophic weather events affect their business and the future of their business. So it's a very difficult issue to address sort of in the way that disclosures are written now for investors. But you could imagine this is an issue that both, you know, Warren and Sanders would want to see the SEC address, and they might tackle in the next administration in a way different than they have.
Let's focus on retail investors. That includes everyone from workers with 401ks to people trading stocks at home. They depend on the SEC to protect them. How might things look different in the next administration when it comes to consumer protection?
The SEC passed a rule during the Trump administration called Regulation Best Interest, which is a stricter regulation that applies to stockbrokers giving advice to retail investors. It does not affect investors who are trading from their laptop without the direction of a professional. But if you go in the office and you talk to a financial advisor, this rule is meant to protect you from conflicts of interest. And Democrats and Republicans really disagreed over how it turned out. Democrats thought it was too weak. Republicans thought it was just right. The industry mostly liked it. Consumer advocates said it was too weak. So it is possible that in the Biden administration, a new Democratic SEC chairman could take a look at that rule, try to tweak it, try to completely rewrite it. It would be a heavy lift, but that would be one of the things that retail investors would probably notice the most.
Dave Michaels, thank you for your insights.
Thanks very much.
And finally, finding a new place to live can be stressful in normal times. Finding a new apartment when you can't physically go and visit during the pandemic takes the challenge to a whole new level. Virtual tours are helping to connect renters with a place to live, but first appearances aren't always what they seem. The Journal's Derek Hull has one man's story.
After searching for a while, he found this apartment that checked all of his boxes. You know, it had the two bedrooms, washer, dryer, dishwasher. I mean, he was ready to move forward. And when the agent moved outside the apartment, she was walking back to the leasing office, and the agent was flipping the camera on her iPad. When she flipped that camera, he caught a glimpse of the parking lot and noticed what looked like an abandoned car. And so he was so caught up in the excitement of the apartment that when he saw that, it jarred him to the point that he realized he had skipped some of his questions. So he was reminded, like, I didn't even ask about crime. And when he asked, there was an uncomfortable pause on the phone, and then she just said she couldn't answer the question and suggested that he call the police.
The man ended up not getting the apartment. There are lots of things to be aware of, including a broken heater and toilets, even a bad smell. You can read about some of these experiences right now on WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Wednesday. We're back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.